Today we're going to talk about GPS. You excited? Boy, I'm glad some of you are with me here. This is good. And first of all, I want to show you this character here. Now you wonder, why would I put this picture up there? And that's because this picture, it comes on this, which is an official credential. Now, I know what you're thinking. You see that it says minister of the gospel, and you're thinking, wait, she already was. Everyone in this room is, right? The scripture says that we are all the ones who do the ministry in the church, and that God wants us all to serve in those ways. But this is a special recognition of work that Vicki has put in over time, studying and working hard and serving in the church. And we want to say, way to go, Vicki. She passed her oral exam and did her doctrinal questionnaire and finished all these classes and everything. We're proud of you. Now, I know that one of the things that we're not all in the same place on as a church is women in ministry. But that doesn't need to even be concerned here, because Vicki isn't particularly shooting to be senior pastor in charge of the world or anything like that, but a faithful servant behind the scenes, as we know among us. And we really appreciate her a lot. And in those kind of disagreements, it's a good thing to work together, hammering out what the Scripture says. And I don't mind a little disagreement when we're thinking, we want to just do what Scripture says for us, don't we? Now, if it's a hassle over, well, we want to fit into the world better, that's another issue. But anyway, more on that later. But way to go, Vicki. Now, you know what a GPS is, right? Right? You've seen these things. Everybody's familiar with them.
In 4/10 of a mile, turn left.
We know about GPSs. It's a global positioning system. It has to do with all these geosynchronous satellites out there that we can measure our distance to and find out exactly where we are. But actually, there's other things that GPS means. It means God's positioning system. Okay? And that's different than global positioning system. God's positioning system is strictly by revelation. He gives us His word, He gives us direction, and it takes us to where we need to go. Now, that was Emma you just heard. Emma I depend on to get me places, different times. I found she's very reliable, and she has some unique qualifications that go beyond sometimes
what you... Please don't forget to love God and love others. We will need others to make it to the destination, and we are not going anywhere without God.
Sometimes she gives us just godly advice as well. So I am glad for that. I think we could say GPS stands for something else too. Group planning system. One of the ways the Lord protects us as a body is He has us work together. And we're good for each other that way. You know, if I get a little off track, I'm counting on you folks to grab a hold of me and pull me back. And the same for you, if I'm seeing you get a little bit off track. And we need that from each other. And not only we're concerning about off track, but we all bring different gifts and different abilities, different experiences, different works of God that we come working together. And the brethren in Christ has always emphasized that kind of safety net behind leadership, that we're always looking for input from the body, and we're always wanting to know what the Lord is speaking to everybody, not just the leaders. So we praise the Lord for that. So we're going to be paying attention as we move through today, the global positioning system, but especially God's positioning system, even a little bit of group planning system. And what we're going to do is we're going to kind of half sermon, half discussion about our direction and where we're at and where we stand with some biblical mandates and how things are working. And you're going to have an opportunity to give some input. So as I'm talking through things and you have a question cross your mind, jot it down, or at least a little reminder of it. So when the microphone's passed a little bit later, you can bring that up. There'll be an opportunity to rethink what the Lord has us here for, and at the same time to give some input into your perspective on that and how we're working at it together. Now, does the Lord have us here for something? Are we headed somewhere? Do we have a destination? You know, ever since probably, the 70s, it's been popular to say, it's not the destination, it's the journey. And there's a lot of truth in that, that we don't want to just be caught up just in reaching a goal and miss out life the Lord is working in us right now and his changes in our lives. But it's kind of the destination too, isn't it? In fact, I'm rather concerned about the destination. We want to accomplish something. We believe the Lord wants us to accomplish something.
Trying to get somewhere, are we not?
Yes, Emma, we're trying to get somewhere. And there's some main responsibilities we have as believers. So some main responsibilities we have as church, an expression of the body of Christ here in our community. There's certain things that God wants us to accomplish. And there's a gazillion ways we could sum those up. But we've sort of been seeing a way of summing those up evolve, I think, by the Lord's work among us over the last couple, over the last several years, and then come together even more in the last couple, that is, I think, really neat. Right away, what's at the core of our responsibilities before the Lord? And we should take our cue from God himself. God is... And that's the only thing that is spoken of just like that, to say God is love. Now, God's a lot of things, but right there in the center is love. A new commandment I give you, Jesus said, love one another. It's a new old commandment. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Galatians says that this command to love, on that command to love one another, hangs all the law and the prophets. If you get this one down, you've got it. So this is a good one to have right in the center, in the first place, when we talk about our building block responsibilities. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am pretty classy, well-respected, can sell some books, lead conferences, but nothing. Right? The Lord has us here in this place where love is central. And really, love has two pieces to it. Love is our first of these building blocks of our responsibility or our job, what the Lord's called us to as a church, what the Lord calls his church to, and with this in a general sense. Two pieces, the vertical and the horizontal. And he reads through the book of 1 John, and we discover that you can't have the vertical love without the horizontal. The one who says he loves God and doesn't love his brother is a liar. Oh, but you know what? You can't have the horizontal without the vertical. We know love by this, that he, et cetera, right? So we know that these two loves are inseparable. And if we say we've got one, but we don't have the other, we're missing out. It's not right. Because to love God is to love other people. Right? So it's a vertical and a horizontal thing. Love. Everybody say love.
Love.
Good. Now, as we're going, we're not just being Christians. We're learning, we're growing, we're becoming disciples. Jesus said that we're supposed to go and make disciples, teaching them to obey all his commands. Right? Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. For each of these central pieces, I've just chosen out two scriptures. We could put 100 on each one because these are central biblical ideas. All right? Colossians 1:9, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Can you see the progression and the extension of knowledge and extension of understanding? We really came across that some in Philippians when he talked about a love that's wise and a love that's tuned in and that we may grow in those things. It's a growth process. It's a going forward process. If we aren't making progress, we're regressing, probably, right? So we could summarize this one by learn. Everybody say learn. Oh, I bet you can predict things coming up, huh? Love, learn. I've been saying the last few weeks, you've heard me say several times this thing about following the Lord and how we learn to do. if we're not learning, if we're not doing, we're not really learning. Gary and I were just talking about that parable of the guy that built his house on the rock and the one who built his house on the sand. And the difference between the two was which one heard the word of the Lord, right? What's the difference? Which one did it? Yeah. Oh, too bad, huh? Yeah, the Lord wants us to obey Him. And this learning process is a process of obedience. And in fact, Scripture indicates that if we don't obey Him, we don't know Him. If we obey Him, we come to know Him. If the one who says, oh, I know God, but they're not obeying Him, they don't know Him. That's a scriptural promise. That's a funny thing to call a promise, but it's true.
I cannot help you if you do not follow directions.
You know, it's so obvious when we think about actually driving somewhere. Can you imagine that if your GPS said that to you? Look, if you don't do what I say, I'm sorry, I can't help you. That only makes sense, doesn't it? It's so obvious we don't expect our GPS to say it. But somehow we don't connect that way with the Lord. Learn is the second thing. Love. Learn. And then these passages, Matthew 25:34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, etc., etc. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was in prison, you visited me, etc. And that's Jesus talking to his followers there. You know, that's because Jesus has a problem with salvation by grace? No, it's not. It's that Jesus is the original one who propagated those ideas I was saying a minute ago, that if you love Him, you'll obey Him. If you know Him, you'll do what He wants. If you want to be saved, you'll follow His path of life. And part of that is to have a heart and a spirit that doesn't go for the top of the pile, it goes for the bottom of the pile. It says, how can I lift you up? How can I really make a difference in your life? Like the story in James, you know, somebody comes to your door and you open the door, and here's this guy in the middle of winter in rags, and he obviously hasn't eaten in weeks. And you say, oh, be warmed and fed, and shut the door. What's that worth? No, that's worth nothing. So we're about something more. We're about actually putting this into action. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but in actions and in truth. So how should we summarize this third building block? Let's say serve. Love, learn, serve. And these will carry us, if we will let the Lord, not just toward ourselves, but to out for others, reaching out. This is one of those very familiar passages. As you probably know, the main verb here is make disciples. Go is a participle. So if we were just saying this in English, you know, strictly literally, we'd say going, make disciples of every nation, which could mean as you go, because you go, while you go. It could mean all those kind of things. Or everywhere you go, in your going, make disciples. And go and be going and make disciples. So this is the picture of what Christians are like. They're in the process of movement. And as they go, they're helping others take a step toward becoming a follower of Jesus. And that's really what we're talking about when we're talking about reaching out. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Paul pleads passionately. And you know, this is in every book of the Bible. And when you come to the New Testament, it's just, you just run again and again and again into this message that we are God's reps. We are God's representatives here on earth. We talked about that in Philippians. Holding out the word of life, right? Shining like stars in the universe, right? Contending as one man for the faith of the gospel in chapter 1. All those conversations. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And so God, we're making His appeal through you. And you and you and you and you. Right? We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So let's call this one, reach out. You're surprised? Let's say those four things. Love, learn, serve, reach out. Does that cover everything? Well, no. We haven't even mentioned worship, have we? That could be number one in a big way. But when we think of the job that God has called us to accomplish, if we think about trying to say, what does the Lord want us to organize as a group to accomplish? You know, what does the Lord want us to go out and do? Then this is a good start. Love, learn, serve, reach out. It's a really good start. Love, learn, serve, reach out. These are these building block responsibilities that the Lord gives us. And unfortunately, this is really the hard part, we haven't fulfilled this when we all nod and say, I agree. We should all reach out, right? Everybody nod and say, I agree. It should be happening somewhere. Just not in my life, please. That's sort of our standard Christian experience here in terms of reaching out. And that's why you saw that little thing we put up on the screen one time here that said, love, learn, serve, reach out. And if you think that we're emphasizing this reach out part a lot, it's because we need it. At least I do. You know, sometimes people accuse me in the lobby after the church. They say, who put the microphone in my house? You're preaching right to me. Usually what I do is I preach to me. And it turns out pretty relevant for everybody. And this is a place I have a hard time. I'm a pastor. People get the jitters around pastors if they don't know the Lord. You know, they're not sure what to do with them. And I have to kind of sneak up on people, you know, in order to build an osteogenous relationship with a genuine unbeliever. It's hard to do. I struggle with this. But man, I want to see this happen in my life. I started to say, I want to make this happen. Then I was afraid that you might feel like I was saying, do this without the Lord. But maybe this is a good place for us to say, this is a responsibility. This is a responsibility. Now, sometimes we can say, oh, I don't know, we want to do this. We don't want to do this in the flesh. We want to do this by the Holy Spirit. Let the Lord lead in this. I'll do this when the Lord says something about it. And then I think at that point, Jesus is saying, I think I already did. Jesus is saying, go make disciples. And a lot of other things. So send I you. You know? Resolved. This is a debate time. Okay? Jesus said, the fields are white, ready to harvest. I'm sorry, Jesus. You do not understand. You do not understand the people around me. There is nothing ready to harvest there. These people are antagonistic, cranky, weird, and there's no openness there. Jesus says, well, actually, the fields are ready to harvest. Do we want to be Spirit-led? Yes, we better be Spirit-led. Do we want to do this in the flesh? No, but we better do it in the Spirit. And we better be cultivating that Spirit-ledness. We better learn to hear the voice of God so that we can say those words in the right way, so we can say the words in the right time, so we can live out what we're saying and be an example of Jesus' love to people that is just powerful beyond words. And we can't do that by ourselves. But we can't afford not to do that in the Spirit. And we're not by ourselves. So let's cultivate an openness to the Spirit. Let's cultivate ears toward the Lord. Let's cultivate ears to hear. Let's cultivate a walk in the Spirit. But let's be responsible and do the thing.
I am beginning to think you don't want to go where you said we were going.
You know, if you're driving, the GPS says, go over here, and you say, nah, not now. Go over there. No, not now. Then pretty soon, that's what she's going to say. At least my GPS. My GPS is a little different than some. So we went through those four main responsibilities. We could go through the DNA of our church and see how the Lord has uniquely called us in some ways. And following Jesus is not that unique. Awful lot of churches would say, boy, we want to follow Jesus. Now, it's true that some churches would say we want to be blessed by Jesus before they'd say we want to follow Jesus. Or we want to we want to be friendly toward Jesus or want him friendly toward us, or we want to like Jesus, or even want to know Jesus, which is very valuable. But we've said we want to follow Jesus, which is what Jesus calls us to do, right? So that's not that unique yet. But then when we get to this, you know, we believe the Lord has given us a vision in this church from the start of church planting. So we have a role, a job to do as a fellowship that not everybody does. And I come in after the fact that was established before I ever came here, but I believe in that. And I believe that's the Lord's call on us. That he wants to see churches planted through us. We've seen one church planted. We've seen another attempt that didn't turn out visibly fruitful. Although the Lord worked in a lot of our lives through that, right? Yeah, even though it was a hard thing sometimes. But the Lord's going to do that again, Lord willing. And we'll see a church sometime get off the ground and be strongly established. Not out there barely surviving, but strongly established out of who we are. So that we can see a strong church planted. That's something a little different about us. We're big on community. Did you read Christy's email earlier this week? After, you know, a tonsillectomy in Ashley's life. Now, a tonsillectomy isn't a life-threatening thing usually or completely earth-shattering, but it sure is nice to have some folks around that will be for you and support you through that. Or through, you know, whether your house just burned down. Is Chris here somewhere? Oh, yeah. She went to put out the fire. Or whatever it is. Or suppose you're going to have a baby soon. It'd be nice to have folks around who'll be for you and support you and pray for that miracle of God and everything else, don't you think? Yeah. That's the kind of community. I miss that, and I'm not sure if I'm glad or sad. I don't know. But that's the kind of community we are. We're there for each other, right? A community is super important to us. Although, you know, all of us can't be that for all 100 and however many of us there are. But we can have, as a whole, a remarkable community. And we're mission-oriented. Not only missions-oriented, but we conceive of ourselves as having a purpose here. We're not just here to keep everybody happy. We're not just here to be the church you can be comfortable in. We're not just here for you to enjoy, or us to enjoy, or, you know, whatever. We're here because we're accomplishing something together. God has called us as a church to those things. Okay, so this is why we've kind of summarized this: love, learn, serve, reach out. We've talked about our DNA a little bit. Now the question is, how do we organize for this? Because we will organize, right? It's sort of like liturgy. You know, there's liturgical churches and non-liturgical churches. But non-liturgical churches have liturgy too, right? Isn't that true? We do a little bit. So we just ought to work at having a good liturgy. How do we organize? Everybody has an organization. Let's work at having an intentional one. Let's have an organization that lines up with what we're trying to accomplish. Let's see if we can't optimize how we're organized to get where we're going. Right? Makes sense? How can we organize to meet these responsibilities? Love, learn, serve, reach out. How do we organize to see that work among us? Or
destination is straight ahead.
We are headed somewhere.
Do you prefer to avoid unnecessary obstacles?
You know, there's that little setting in there. Do you want freeways? Do you want back streets? Do you want to avoid construction and deep canyons? Yeah. How can we do this with minimal overhead? How many of you have plenty of overhead in your life? Plenty of activity, plenty of nights out, plenty of meetings. You know, this is just the story of our lives. How can we do this love, learn, serve, reach out thing with a minimal amount of investment in overhead, in times and meetings and programs and buildings and whatever?
You will have a more pleasant driving experience if you move with the traffic in your lane.
You know, going the same direction as the traffic in your lane really benefits the whole thing. And we want to do this working together. We want to accomplish something together that we couldn't accomplish all of us separately. That's why God's called us together partly, right? So we're going to do this together. How can we optimize, how can we organize to do this together?
Let's try the same route we've been using, but see if it takes us to a different destination.
Emma, I think you've lost it on this one.
John, haven't you noticed I kid around a lot?
Do you know what? If we just do what we've always done, we'll get what we've always gotten. And that's why we're talking about intentional and purposeful, about holding our feet to the fire a little bit in some ways that we aren't just for our comfort, but because we know that's what we need to do. Reaching out is a big one here. Because we know we need to be doing it. It's tricky to do. It's hard to do. Churches are generally semi-okay with just not doing it much, personally. I mean, you know, have a church program, some events that are evangelistic events. You know, come here, brother so-and-so, preach evangelistically on so-and-so. And that's great. But that, you know, us as a church, we don't have that responsibility. Well, we want to do this in a proactive, intentional way, not only in evangelism, but in the other areas too.
It will take some time and trouble to get to your destination. Shall we just stay here?
It'll take some time and trouble to get to our destination. So should we just stay here? Have you ever felt like that? I have. Feel that way at work sometimes? Feel that way in your family? Sometimes feel like, oh, that's going to be some hard work. Let's do it tomorrow. But you know what? We want to be intentional about this. We want to move on what the Lord has for us. How can we organize to accomplish this? And we want to do this together, organized, as a sodality. And even if you don't know that word, that's okay. But that means just something that's full of purpose and moving forward to accomplish something in a definite, intentional way, in an ordered way, yet unleashing the people. How do we do that? Well, we've said, boy, you know, you look around and say, is there a way to organize that can really accomplish these things? Well, here's a good one. It's not the only one. There's some churches really accomplishing this without using this at all. But we've looked at this and said, boy, this looks really good for us. And it's similar to what some other churches are doing. What our life groups aren't the same as what it is anywhere else. But tweaking it and thinking about it and looking, borrowing from these guys and borrowing from those guys and looking to Scripture again and reshaping it. We said, here's a good way to do this. These life groups would be a way that we could organize. And you could look at it with both arrows saying the vertical love of God and the horizontal love of each other. But that gets kind of complicated. So we'll just look at this version and say, see those arrows reaching in where we're loving each other, building community, and caring for one another. It's all about love, but not just love. It's about learning from the Scripture. It's not just about learning. It's about that making that learning practical in the doing. And we get to hammer out in these life groups more than we do here. How does this actually get lived out in our lives? It was a great sermon, but what does that mean at where I work? With my neighbors, in my life, with my family, you know? Hammering that out. So it's a learning part. It's an opportunity to serve and get down and help some people. This life group over here is going to go help shingle somebody's house. And life groups have been doing that kind of thing. One of the places we struggle a little bit to find a balance is we don't want to be in saying, well, this is the way we're going to organize. We don't want to be the total cookie cutter lockstep. You have to do it just the way we say if you want to be a part of us. On the other hand, we want this to be scalable. We want this to be able to grow. So we want, when it reproduces, when one group reproduces, we want two groups that still are reaching the same goal, still trying to love, learn, serve, reach out. And that requires some requirements. We want them to stick to the same thing, reproducible in that way, and consistent. So we put a board up outside that says, here's the life groups that you can be a part of. And we'd point you to one of these, pick one of these 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 40 life groups, whatever the Lord is pleased to do among us. And we know that if you're going to that life group, you'll be covering these bases. We as leaders in the church will say, phew, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. If we point him or her or them toward a life group, we'll know that these things are covered to a degree. I'm the first one to say, are life groups perfect? No, they're not. Just come to mine and you'll see really quickly. You know? Christy? What were you laughing at? Okay. You know, all right. But this is what we're shooting for. This is what we're about. Similarly, not to be patronizing, you know, the church board says this is what everybody has to do. But on the other hand, the opposite of that is not providing any direction or any leadership. Have a sodality focus, meaning we're really here to accomplish something, and yet we want to unleash everyone. Is it just the church board that's in touch with God's will? Is it just a church board that has spiritual gifts? Is it just the church board that has wisdom? No. So we want to unleash everybody to serve the Lord. We want to avoid too much control. And yet, tell me what the scripture means when it says everybody did right, what was right in his own eyes. That is not a compliment, by the way. And if you're not familiar with that, read the Old Testament again. Make sure we're covering the bases, and yet allow each group to be its own expression. So we've tried to find this sort of balance, and we've used this drawing some, and said, this is what we're going to focus on, okay? This is our focus. The Sunday morning gathering and these life groups. The life groups are the primary means by which we grow and serve as small groups embedded in the world. And then if you're not a part of these two things, you're really missing out on what New Vision can offer you. So if somebody says, well, I'd love to be part of Sunday morning service, but I don't want to be part of life group, I'm going to say, well, that's fine. We love you. But you know what? You're missing out on some of the best stuff. So we've said that. We thought, oh, but you know, we want to release everybody into ministry. It's not just this narrow plan. And God's got lots of things he's doing besides this. But these things, on the sideways axis here, are things that you're not necessarily going to be missing out on as part of New Vision if you're not a part of. They're more like things for some people to be. Some people are going to go do Sidewalk Cafe. And if you're not doing something like that in your life, you probably are missing out. But it might be Sidewalk Cafe, or it might be a reach out to this people, it might be a biker's thing, it might be this, or it might, and there's all these need for connection of people, connected to people, and the Lord's individual gifting in people. And we want to affirm these things and say, these are super important. And by saying the others are the focus, we mean we're talking about whole church focus. That doesn't make these unimportant. That makes these very important. It's just they're not the whole focus for the whole church. And we'd say, these are valuable. And this is a place where we really can unleash people. You know, you don't have to have board permission and 6 months of training just to get together with some folks and share an interest in photography. Or to go reach out to some people at a Harley-Davidson, what's it, or whatever. So we want to unleash you. Now, since we've been working on all this, we haven't always done a good job
on
this.
You are now off track. Please turn around when possible.
You know, we set up these things, and we some places we didn't come through being real supportive of affinity connections or ministry connections. And we promised you a big poster out there where you could see different affinity connections and sign up for those. And we haven't made all that materialize, and I apologize for that. And so some people have heard us say, which we weren't saying, this is unimportant. It's not important. It's super important. It's a way of releasing everybody in the church to pursue the ministries and the callings that God has called them to and allow others to join with them in that. So I'm inviting you now to give some input here for a few minutes. And if you need to take off, go ahead. But I want to have some unhurried few minutes of input here. Let's see, where's the microphone? And how about a volunteer mic runner? Okay. Are we lining up with Scripture in this? You might think, do you have any feedback on that? Are we being faithful to our call, to who God wants us to be as a church? Are we reaching a good balance? There's a lot of ways you could think of that question, balance between lots of things, between Spirit-ledness and power and our responsibility and go-for-it-ness, between leadership by the leaders and input from everyone, etc. Is there a blind spot we're missing anywhere? You might be the one to say, hey, you know, this is going to lead us into a ditch if we don't think about such and such over here. Are we being practical, missional? How can we do even better? So there's some questions for you, and I invite your input, and I would love to know what you're thinking about this and how you feel like we're doing and going. One of the big questions really is this making sense? Is this making sense to you? It's where we've been headed as a church, I feel like, since the beginning of the church. But I know that as me coming in as a new pastor, we've consolidated a little differently, we've emphasized a little differently, we've shaped a little differently, and we're trying to roll ahead with this. And I have been working with the board, so this isn't just my ideas. This is the board seeking the Lord, praying and looking for things, discussing things, bringing input, your input put into that. So this is kind of our two-year checkup now. What do you think? How's it going? I have a question.
One thing that keeps coming back to my mind in regard to all this is that, and I just read about the story of Paul and Silas singing in jail, and the jailer. There was a course some years ago, "The Joy of the Lord is Our Strength." If we try to do this without the joy of the Lord in our hearts, we're missing something.
Absolutely.
But on the other hand, there does have to be some sort of planning, understanding to be perhaps more effective at that. But let's not forget the joy of the Lord is where we need to really start. And if you don't have that joy, you're missing something.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever sing that song, "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength"? Would you keep a little record of input, Donna? I meant to ask you to do that and didn't. Thank you. Jim?
Well, there's big things and little things. I like what Cheryl and Paul are doing with the youth group. They set up over a year in advance the next mission trip. And that one of the biggest reasons for that is so instead of planning the mission trip around everybody's busy activities, which is 180 degrees out of phase, mm-hmm. what we should be doing is, and what I think we can do with that is we can plan our activities around that mission trip because it's very important. It's what we are. It's what we do. And speaking as one who's gone to one of these mission trips and will be going again, it's very important for the youth. It's very important for the body of Christ. So I guess my input would be anything big like that, the farther we can put it out in advance, the better. Now, granted, we can't do that with everything because there's things that come up in a day's notice. So possibly the little things we could have, I hate to say a group of folks or a call list or something like that where let's say Christie's hot water heater goes out or something and they just can't, they don't have the skill, I'm just using that as an example, be able to call somebody and say, do we know anybody that can come over and help? And I mean, this is an emergency sort of a thing. So a call list like that, and maybe even if it's a hot water heater, call Mike. If it's a grass cutting that I just can't get, anything like that, you know, emergency more. So input big things, long advance, and then have a group of specific contacts for emergency things. I think that might be a good idea.
And I think I appreciate also what you said that indicates this is something about priority and planning, for which we can applaud the youth folks. But saying this is worth planning around as opposed to making it fit around what exists. Yeah. Chris?
I just want to say something about community. Troy and I came from a place recently where we know many more people than are in this room by a first name basis. And yet, we weren't really experiencing real community. However, we didn't really realize we weren't really experiencing community until we experienced community in our life group here. And we just said this last week, and we say it almost every week, just how honored and humbled we are to be a part of a group that loves on us and that we can love on and we can be open and transparent. And last week, as I was looking around at our life group, I was making some coffee, and I kind of looked back over my shoulder at everybody, you know, in the kitchen. And between kids and adults, I think we've got 20 or so of us there now. And it felt like Thanksgiving to me. And it was. Thanksgiving. I was so thankful for that. And I have to tell you, too, in our group, Mike, as our leader, has been very instrumental and honest in putting it out there as part of the discussion to use our 10 most wanted list to grow our group and to not just reach in, because that feels like family and it's so comfortable, but to reach out, too. And so you all know a little bit about our neighbors and that their son, Alec, has come up to ask a lot of spiritual questions to me. So I pray and pray. I'm like, oh, Lord, please bring me another opportunity to reach out to him. You know, every day I pray, Lord, bring me another opportunity. And the other day I got it from praying, walked into the kitchen and saw the telephone. And I thought, huh, I wonder if I'm just supposed to maybe call him and like invite him. Maybe God's not going to like lift him up with his holy hand and dump him on my porch again, you know. And so I did, and Alec comes now, and he's part of that community. He's not part of this community, but... Well, he's given him lots of... Oh, yeah, the first night we invited him, he said, well, I have to tell you, I only came because my Xbox broke tonight. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. But praise the Lord.
Amen. Ellen?
Well, talking about we need to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. Had a encounter with one of the homeless guys down at the rescue mission last week, and when we were feeding them, as he was coming through the line, I asked him if I could pray for him, which I did, and then he came back through the line a second time and said, you know, other churches come down here and feed us. He said, sometimes the people who are giving to me, they insult me. They look at me like I've got a disease. Homelessness is a condition. It's not a disease. And there's no joy when they're giving. And he said, when you guys come down, there is lots of joy. There's true love. And he prayed back for me. So I got an extra blessing out of it. It was like super cool. And I just want to encourage you, and this again is preaching to myself, that there's so many opportunities every day, whether it's the grocery store or the line at the bank or whatever. We have constant opportunities to reach out. And I, being a person who very often, you know, I get back in my car and go, well, you dummy, you could have done this, you know, where we don't reach out. So just if the joy of the Lord is first and foremost in your heart, then there's kind of a natural progression in that love to reach out. And it feels natural. It doesn't feel stifled, and it doesn't feel like you're, oh, I'm being an evangelist. You know, it's just an opportunity to reach out in love to the world around you and establish a bond. So thanks.
We have a couple more folks ready to share here. And I want to ask a question while we're getting ready for them to share. One of the things we've wrestled with a lot on the board is, how do we be intentional, and as staff, how do we be as intentional as possible with our life groups and organize them to accomplish the things we're trying to accomplish and order them in that direction and make them reproducible so that so if somebody comes in the door, we know that if they go into the life group, certain things will happen. And yet not make people feel like we're in a straitjacket. We have to do this, you know, by some secret red book back in the vault somewhere, and you know the board is controlling everything like the marionette strings, or that I am the pastor or whoever, or Vicky is. It's really Vicky's fault. And you know, how do we find that balance, and how are we doing in that? It's really one of the things we wrestle with a fair amount. So I'm really interested if anybody has any feedback. Go ahead, Jen.
Of course, this doesn't have anything to do with that. No.
That's fine, but I.
But I'm the thing that strikes me from Richard's comment and others. Often we don't feel the joy because we haven't done anything from which to receive the joy. When way back when I was in training, working with people who are highly depressed, one of the first things you do is to get them to do something. That might just be cleaning out the sink. Mm-hmm. But you do something, and then you start to get joy, and you find out, whoa, I'll do something else. So the first step is just do it. To be tried.
Something that's kind of in our DNA as a congregation, and maybe you call it just loving one another, but part of it is the freedom to fail. That you can try to do something and it doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah, this isn't TV. This is real life. That's right. Amen. Christy?
One of the things, just to go off of what Joanne's saying, and I think one way to hit every single one of these points, but within our congregation, is there's an incredible children and youth population here that really needs some leadership. And if you want to love and you want to learn and you want to serve this body and reach out to others through them, please talk to John and Nancy. And they didn't ask me to do this, and I didn't know I was going to do this. It's a desperate need here all the time for teachers in the nursery all the way up through the high school age. So please, please, please consider that as one way that I think we can do a better job of reaching our young people.
It's actually not a desperate need all the time. It's always a phenomenal opportunity.
It is. And the things that they think of and they talk, I mean, it's amazing.
This is some of the most direct spiritual investments you can make is in kids, man.
And it starts in infancy, so don't forget about the nursery.
Amen. Somebody over here had something.
I was thinking this morning, our small group is having a potluck in a couple of weeks, and I found that as an opportunity to, you know, think of who to invite to that as a good time to plug someone in. But to this morning, I was thinking of, you know, it's a woman in my office, another woman in my office who just this last week shared, you know, that she's thinking that God's been forgetting about her. So follow my train of thought here. So I'm thinking about our potluck and what a great opportunity that is for us to plug people into our group. And I thought, well, since we're talking about small groups and how, you know, we can be working for the mission of the church, perhaps it would be an idea, just an idea, that we have all the small groups get together for a potluck and we can share what we're all doing and learn from each other. I mean, this is a good forum for it, but, you know, maybe they're, you know, every quarter or something like that, we get everyone together and actually talk about what we're doing in our life groups and learn from each other, and then we can, you know, add new things and share best practices. Just a thought. But I think this is a great forum, and it'd be neat to continue doing something like this.
Great. Maybe one or two other folks then will tell you can go out in the lobby if you'd like to in fellowship. We will have some more discussion in here if anybody wants to.
So our life group started, and we're running an alpha program. And
you're running a what program?
Alpha program, which is kind of a Christianity 101 video program. Anyways, one of the goals of running the alpha program first was to invite people who weren't from New Vision and who may not hopefully even be Christian into a context for spiritual conversation. And what Joanne was talking about, just doing it, I've been really frustrated with myself for the last year and a half because I'm not seeing connections with non-Christians in a way that could lead to spiritual conversation that I can talk about God, because I'm not doing it. But then it gets frustrating, and so I don't do it, and then I'm frustrated it's not happening, so I don't do it more, and it's just like this downward spiral, right? So I'm sitting here thinking, nobody's coming to this alpha group. That's because I haven't invited anybody. So we started inviting people, and now we have five people who are not from New Vision coming, and there's two more. One that is, he's probably the, two more that are potentially coming. And so it's really exciting to be connecting with people, and all we did was just invite them. And a lot of people said yes, but five people already said, or a lot of people said no, but five people said yes, so here they are. And so
that's really neat.
Just
praise
do it.
The Lord. Amen. Art, we'll let Art be, we'll let Art and Mike be the last two. That's all the hands I saw. Did I miss any? I don't even want to ask. But go ahead, Art.
I was doing some paperwork early this morning, and I was going through some old files and stuff, and a quote by Ezekiel came up about standing in the gap. He asked for the men in the land to stand in the gap. And it was on a calendar And that calendar was Promise Keepers Stand in the Gap.
Yeah.
And that was in Washington. You were there. And it's something that we remember that God has purpose for us. And it's not always what it seems. Right now, Promise Keepers is down to a small group of people that just meet once a year. Then, 12 years ago, a million men stood on the ball in Washington. And God still can do that. And it has. Because all those million men moved on to other places in our families and churches. And the churches are growing because of them. And God has a purpose. It's not apparent to us all the time. But He'll kick us in the butt if we don't follow what He wants us to do.
You have a verse on that? There are some verses related to that, but
I've led and started Bible studies many, many times in this church, and the one thing I've noticed is that if you're a leader and you're faithful and you show up every week, eventually God will reward you with people. I can remember starting a study at work with Lou Neal, and it was just two of us for 6 months. And we were inviting all kinds of people. We invited people that we thought should be there. And you know what? We were inviting the wrong people. God had a different idea of who we should be inviting. And we changed what we did, and we started looking, okay, this is a person that's alone, a loner. This is a person that not many people like. And we started inviting those people, and pretty soon we had a dozen people at our group. And sometimes, you know, we think we know who we want at our group, and that's not who God wants at your group. And sometimes inviting the lowly people, the people that are alone, are the ones we need to reach out to. And I'm not going to tell you there's a plan or a special way of finding these people. God will reveal it to you. Just start praying and let God bring the fruit.
Thank you, folks. You've been very patient through an extra long service, and I hope you won't quit giving feedback right now. You might want to get some more right now. You might want to email some stuff to the pastor and board members. You might want to corner somebody and talk to them, but you might be the one that points out the blind spot or that gives that extra idea or brings the balance back into focus or whatever else. We need that. So please do that. Lord, here we are. We're your folks. You've called us to yourself, and we want to be obedient to you and walk in you, not gritting our teeth and saying, oh, we got to do our duty to God. We want to walk in this way. We want to learn to know what it means to have the joy as our strength, your joy as our strength, to be overflowing with the love of Christ, not struggling so much to reach out to people. To represent you well in our lives, in the way we treat people, in our relationships, and then to have the words to follow up. Lord, help us as a church as we seek to honor you in this, and help us to always be lifting our organization up to you so you can tweak it if you want to and lead us along the way. Thank you most of all, Lord, for this group of people that you've called to yourself, that you've caused us to band together for your purposes and to be a body that's more than just the sum of the parts, a whole that really manifests your work in this world. Thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.